I saw that all the farmers actually turned up in London, which was great. The barber jackets at left, right, and centre. It was nice to see them standing up for themselves, bless them, because they are getting shafted by this government. It is literal communism. It's like, we're going to take your land. We're going to force you out. It's Stalin. It really is Stalinism 101. And Starmer is literally a Marxist at this point. Parliament is against the people. The government is against the people. We need a revolt. We need a revolution. We need something bigger than bureaucracy.
Welcome to another episode of Fox and Father with me, the Fox, and him,
the Father.
We're doing this for the first time with the proper cameras, not quite set up properly because I'm various bits are broken and I don't know how to operate them, but I just want to show off
do it.
Like Calvin did last week. Hi.
How are you all doing? We can see your beard.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. You good? I don't have a beard.
The side profile is actually better lit than the front.
I know. I've got these are some of the problems that we're... Anyway, we are here. Proper camera.
We have internet.
We have internet. Full speed internet in a little box in the roof. I can't tell you, that was not cheap.
Have you got Elon Musk internet?
No. So what happened was, it turns out that the internet service provider just needs to provide the internet to your house. They don't really need to provide you with internet around your house. It just needs to arrive at your door.
Yeah.
So we've had to have a guy come and put various bits up and around. So here we are. Okay. No lagging, just conversation.
I can actually hear you this week.
Oh, I know. Last week was quite hard work.
It was literally every other word at one point.
I know. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm good. It's frosty out. It's literally like white frost everywhere, and it's drizzled for the first time. But I'm good. I can't complain. How are you?
I'm good. It's also freezing here, but
had 36 degrees here, and it's 36 degrees in London. I don't know about in the sticks where you are, but it's 36 degrees everywhere now.
Excuse me. What temperature gauge are you using?
Oh, we're back on Fahrenheit. We're old school over here.
Oh, mate, what happened to you?
I believe in integration.
Are you culturally assimilating?
Yeah, it's 2 degrees centigrade or Celsius, whichever one it is. Celsius.
Yeah. Well,
what's the difference between centigrade and Celsius?
I don't know, but there are some good memes about it. I do know that. So how is the American journey? I saw you posted a video the other day of an English man driving around in a Dodge Ram on his way to Hooters, and you're just like, this is my life for the last 2 months.
Although I don't have a truck. I'm going to get a truck next year. I've got my little Subaru, my little lesbian car at the moment. But these are good cars for the snow, so I'll be fine over the winter because it will snow here. We have the lake effect, as they call it, because we're so close to the Great Lakes. This whole area just gets covered with snow. You can drive like a couple of hours east and it's sunny still, so I've got to prepare for that.
You can't say lesbian car because we got an email through to the Reclaim the Media email inbox, which said that we'd done something wrong. It wasn't a strike or anything, but we'd done something wrong. We'd used some shocking language.
Had we? And what language have we used?
They never specified, but I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and I'm gonna suggest it may have been me that used the shocking language. Do you think that's a fair bet?
I don't know. Could have been anything. Should we just use all the words all up front and then see what happens?
Let's see what happens. No, let's at least try and carry on for the time being. Okay. So you're full of joy. I've got some more wood. The fire is on. The studio is kind of almost ready. It's kind of coming along.
Are you going to give us a tour at some point?
Yeah, I mean, don't ask me to move anything about. Theon has been down here today, and I'm just, you know, I'm an impatient person at the
Theon's
best of times.
Theon's back.
Theon's, he's not back, but he loves and he's helping because he doesn't like to see a brother in trouble. So he's been around. Anyway, have you been, what have you been following from the English news, and what have I been following from the American news?
I saw that all the farmers actually turned up in London, which was great. The barber jackets at left, right, and centre. It was nice to see them standing up for themselves, bless them, because they are getting shafted by this government. It is literal communism. It's like, we're going to take your land. We're going to force you out. It's Stalin. It really is Stalinism 101. And Starmer is literally a Marxist at this point. But what can be done about it?
Well, you can protest about it. I think it was really good that Clarkson went out. It is all of these lies that are turning out to Pinocchio. Rachel Reeves is turning out to be one of the world's biggest liars, which is never good when dealing with someone with money. Yeah. And she hired a firm of financial advisors who actually advocate for state control of the land to be rented off by farmers. So essentially, she's a kulak. This is the kulak stage of Britain. So it's pretty bad. But I did like Clarkson because I like the fact that he exposed the BBC for being a complete lying bunch of tossers. Sorry that they are.
Victoria Derbyshire.
And she was like, "What are you doing with inheritance tax?" I'm like, "The man bought a Lamborghini tractor for fun. Do you genuinely believe that that's what he's trying to do? He's trying to save himself some money somewhere."
Oh, I've seen that as well. Everyone's saying, "Oh, he's only a farmer for the inheritance tax, so he can." It's like literally, he runs a farm. It's some of the hardest work you can imagine doing. Like, this is his existence now. You think he's doing all of this to save a few bob, and it is probably losing money actually from doing it. It's a cynical view, isn't it?
Well, it's also changed Clarkson's farm in the same way as Top Gear did. It's kind of changed the nature of documentary TV entertainment because it's so compelling. He obviously is very, it's really, really good. I can highly recommend it with a VPN, which everyone should get, as you have been advocating for ages. Yeah. It's such good TV. I can't recommend it highly enough. He's doing it because he wants to. You can't remember the last time you watched it?
TV, no.
No, but this one is worth watching. And because it's just pulling out your own hair at the state of the ridiculous levels of bureaucracy that have been put in front of him, first by a Conservative government and now by a Labour government that want to trash farmers. And then to look at the lefties and how much they hate life. Mm. I find it, you know, like Terry Christian, obviously, you know, Terry Christian probably did too many ecstasy tablets and has no serotonin left in his life, in his body. Is that defamatory? Possibly. Who cares?
I think it's
Okay. Theon, maybe. Okay, let me rephrase that. There's obviously been Terry Christian who may or may not have consumed too many ecstasy tablets and may or may not have no serotonin left in his body after such a long drug bender. But this is just a possibility. It's not an assertion I'm making as a statement of fact, Your Honor.
The statement of fact is that he's miserable.
Miserable. He is. What? It's such a miserable thing, isn't it? And I've been having this thing this week of going, I'm going to get visited by the cops at some point. And I've got that back in my head again.
What for this time?
Well, I think my Solzhenitsyn inspired tweet mixed with a little bit of From the River to the Sea. Oh. When you meet the police, meet them with
an axe.
Yeah, greet them with an axe. Which
I can always tell when you've been naughty because my mum is the one who lets me know first before I even see it myself. She's like, "What's Lawrence doing about this axe business?" I'm like, "Oh, what do you say now?"
I can always tell when I've been naughty as well because I get my dad on the phone going, "Hello, hello, love. I just thought, you know, I thought the axe one might have been a bit much, and you know, just letting you know." And you know, and then he starts going, this is why I love Christianity. So I said, "Well, what do you do if you've got, if you're getting arrested for?" So, let's just start with this because we've got to talk about Alison Pearson because we just have to. So, wrong phone. Don't get two phones, people. It just means that you have two phones looked through instead of one. So the Alison Pearson thing is, and that's the wrong fact. So Alison Pearson goes, is obviously visited by the Rozzers. Someone turns up and says, you know, you can't complain about having Islamic flags and stuff like that. And I'm just losing my mind at this point because I'm going, I've been to all of these protests in London where they chant this stuff, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," open brackets, "of Jews," which is what the intention is to say it. And then Houthis, Houthis, do us proud, turn another ship around, which is, you know, these are succinct but definite calls for violence. So I thought I would try and mash it all up into a thing of saying an Englishman's home is his castle and he should defend himself. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Alison Pearson's visited And, you know, he's being investigated for a crime. But, you know, he's not being investigated for a crime in the wokest county on earth, Essex. An imam. And do you know what he said? I think this is very chilled. This is not a hate crime at all. O Allah, curse the Jews and the children of Israel. O Allah, break their words, shake their feet, disperse and tear apart their unity and ruin their houses and destroy their homes.
Wow.
That's not a hate crime, mate. That's just... Awful. That's just the religion of peace. Mm. I then have a conversation with my father, who's like, I said, well, how do you deal with these demons, these people that come in to try and destroy your life? And my dad goes, well, you go to the scriptures. That's how you deal with it. Okay. So I then, I'd be interested, and he went, go to Proverbs 32. So I'm like, okay, I'm happy to do that. So I have a look around. And then I go to... I sent him in a message, actually. So I then said to Larry, does it say anything in the Bible about what you do when your country's being invaded by Mohammedan hordes? Yeah. Have you got any good quotes before I start
putting one on to you? Let's go from the Psalms. Rise up, Lord, confront them, bring them down with your sword, rescue me from the wicked. Declare them guilty, O Lord. Mm. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them from for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. There you go. Is that enough? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not acknowledge you, on the kingdoms that do not call on your name, for they have devoured Jacob and devastated his homeland. I love the Psalms.
That deserves a clap to that.
Have you got right. sound effects?
I've got a button. I can press it. It's there.
Go on, then.
There. Look.
Oh, okay.
Hello. Hello. Wait, no, I can look at that one.
It's Hi. Like you're back on TV.
Yeah, I know. It's you know, the biggest dream of my life. I got a couple for you.
Yeah.
Isaiah 1. Verse 7, your country lies desolate, your cities are burned with fire, in your very presence foreigners devour your land. It is desolate as overthrown by foreigners. Then we've got Ezekiel 28. I like the bit of the old school. Thus says the Lord God, I will bring foreigners upon you, the most ruthless of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor.
Very apt.
Very apt. Very, very apt, I thought. So I was saying, because I think that to a lot of people, that the idea of the Christian idea is just like turning the other cheek and never getting upset if anyone does anything wrong and all that sort of thing. But you have to protect your country from this madness. And you have always been very consistent in your, you know, real hearty displeasure about the overthrowing of Great Britain by the Mohammedan hordes. And I'm really up there with you. And the thing that I'm finding out is that you can't speak to anyone about it because they get upset. So I find this really weird. You know, if people go, oh, you Christians with your stupid sky wizard, you know nothing, you're all crazy. I just go, more fool you, chum. I don't get upset about it. Mm. But if you go, oh, you Mohammedans with your stupid sky wizard, they'll chop your head off. And I find it so unbelievable that we live in a country where that's even, where we're not all up in arms and going, hang on a minute, this is Christendom, chap. You know, we've extended the hand of friendship to you unwisely, as it turns out, in a lot of cases, because, you know, as you've said before, the true believer it would condone all of the things that these people have done, you know, got us used to acid attacks and child marriage and all this sort of stuff. But it's astonishing. How does Islam...
That's what I mean this week. It's the Christianity is just be generally nice versus actually the Christianity is the crusades. It's the physically pushing back of evil in this realm. There's a massive difference between the modern Christianity and the traditional Christianity. We need to reclaim the traditional Christianity.
We really do. Otherwise, we're done. I mean, I part of me thinks we're done anyway. That I'm again, you sort of drag back to the Farage interview where he goes, where he was talking about. Saying, well, there's nothing we can do. Muslims are breeding much, much more than Brits are breeding. And I was thinking to myself, you know what, instead of giving Ed Miliband, that stupid man that looks like he's been hit in the face with a shovel repeatedly for being naughty, instead of giving him a sort of carte blanche to destroy our country with his wind turbines and carpet the farmland that he wants to steal off every farmer with solar panels, why don't we give that money to people who want to have kids and raise families? Why don't we do what Hungary did? Why don't we say, you know, if you have a, yeah, like the family should be at the center of everything government supports, shouldn't it? It should be like the first thing government supports ahead of everything else, protecting the family.
Farage there, he's been quoted again this week. He did an interview with our friend Winston Marshall, and he said, we will lose. And he talks about, actually, we have to embrace Islam. We can't alienate Mohammedans. And if we do alienate them politically, we will lose. Basically, he's capitulating to Islam because he's afraid we're going to lose anyway. Like, what kind of fighting spirit is that, Chamberlain?
Or is it, yeah, exactly. Or is it darker than that, which is reform will lose? So it's not we, Britain, will lose. It's my political party will lose. That's what I read. That's what I heard when he said it.
Right.
I was like, okay. So he's saying, I want to win political power. And therefore, I have to do anything and everything I can do to win political power. And I think that's a really bad way of going about trying to change a country, like winning. What you want to happen is your country to win. And if you manage to get a pat on the back for it, you would have thought the guy would know this, that if you get a pat on the back for it, all the better. But the chances are you're not going to get a pat on the back for trying to do something noble, because, you know, as you know and I know, you usually get a knock on the door, or you get completely ostracized and done over. So
you can only do good works if you're prepared to get a slap on the back rather than a pat on the back. You can't expect a reward. So which politician is going to make Britain great again?
Well, I know this is going to be unpopular with a lot of people, but I am encouraged by Kemi. I am encouraged by the fact that she went to the farmers' protest. I'm encouraged that she...
Jack, get me a barber, quick. Size medium.
What does that mean?
I mean, come on.
Am I bad? Am I wrong?
Oh, you're fine. Carry on. Tell me how Kemi's going to save the country.
I'm not saying that Kemi's going to save the country. I'm saying that anyone who's going to save the country is going to need the encouragement. There aren't many Donald Trumps in this world who are able to just go through everything. And, you know, you've seen the magnanimity with which he's approached his foes, Joe Biden, his top voter, you know, to turn around and say, yeah, no, it's good. I want to reach across the aisle and I want to do all this sort of stuff. So he's very magnanimous, but they're so few and far between. So I keep saying to Kemi, feel the wind in your sails. And I like the fact that she turned up for farmers' protest. She didn't make a big hoo-ha with her mustard colored plus fours and a barber. She just turned up and said, I support this. I support the farmers. And I like the fact that she's come out in support of free speech. And I like the fact that Labour, that lovely Labour MP who came out in, what's his name? I can't remember. Skinner, not Skinner. I can't remember his name, but he's a good Labour MP who asked a PMQ of Angela Rayner, who Angela Rayner said something great in her PMQs. She said, he asked her whether she believed in free speech. She went, yeah, we really need free speech in democracy. But people that believe in free speech should then, those that do it should understand that there are consequences for doing
That's
it.
That's good. You did it's my Angela Rayner.
I didn't even know. It's my first time I've ever tried it. So the state of the world is... Oh, wait. I want to do something. Okay. So one of our... It's gone all dark again. What have I done? It's fine. It'll be better next week. It's a learning curve. So one of our followers on Fox and Father... the lovely, we have such loyal followers and we're so grateful to them, has suggested that we have a section in our show called Fox and Father Follows. Nice. And we suggest to people, and I think we could actually do two if we wanted, but I know who I'm going to do, and if you've got one, you can do one. So I'm going to suggest that Fox and Father Follows is the part of the show where we go, this is someone we recommend you follow.
Okay.
So in, because this idea came from one of our lovely viewers, called Pete. I'm going to, no, I'm not going to be able to find him. Of course I am. He must have commented on something I said recently. I'm going to suggest that everybody follows Pete Clark, and his Twitter handle is Pete British. That's quite a good Twitter handle. How do you get that one? Pete British. And he's got a, and he's there, and he's lovely. So follow Pete British.
Pete sent me this cross. Like, bless him. I love this cross. I'm a fiddler, and so I like to have something tactile when I'm praying, but also when I'm just recording. So this is the cross I carry. So thank you, Pete.
It looks like a gingerbread cross. Yeah. Have you got a follow?
Sure. I will recommend Sean Parker, which is Sean with an E, so S-E-A-N-B-W Parker. And Sean is an artist, also one of our long-term followers. I think he did a piece of art for both of us at one point, a portrait. And he is always the first to recommend good things. He's good at retweeting, and he's just on top of stuff on Twitter. So there you go.
I like Sean a lot as well. That would be a definite follow for me as well. He watched it through. I'd also like to say that and maybe Theon, it's actually a bit long. It's 9 minutes long, so it's too long. But there's a wonderful guy called Harry Tangi, who is a copper, who's got a very, very interesting past in terms of being a free and open speaker. And he's an ex-firearms copper, I believe. And he did this very, very, what I thought was quite moving. It actually brought tears to my eyes, sort of takedown of me. And the reason why it brought tears to my eyes was because it was honest. Oh. It wasn't just like, oh, Lawrence is wonderful or Lawrence is dreadful. It was like, Lawrence is a bit of a wally, but, and it was very, very fair. And I shared it on social media. So Harry Tangi, and what's so lovely about this show, and I keep my DMs open, I don't know what you do, is if someone contacts me and speaks to me, I'll often end up speaking to them. And I've made some pretty good people that I speak to out of this. So I think it's wonderful, but they don't want us to talk about how wonderful they are. They want us to pontificate about the state of the madness of the world. So do you have any thoughts on non-crime hate incidents?
That they shouldn't exist. We talked about non-crime hate incidents last week, didn't we? Because we had
but it was lagging, and it was like every time it just went reconnecting constantly. So just your summary of the non-crime hate incident is that they shouldn't exist, or is Lionel?
I mean, what if it's a non-crime, it should have nothing to do with the police. Like, the police are there to solve and prevent crime. I don't understand the whole non-crime hate incident thing. And it's like, what is a hate incident? It's something that someone takes offense at. People take offense at all kinds of stuff. It doesn't make it a crime or a non-crime, and it doesn't make it an incident. Like, get over yourselves.
I've been sat down talking to my team, obviously, you know, because you do, and that's what one does. And we came to the conclusion that, you know, really, it's amazing that no politician has actually tried to put forward a Bill of Rights for the British people rather than the parliamentarians. Now, for those of you that are as stupid as and uninformed as I was yesterday, but I sat down with someone who actually really does know their history, the original Bill of Rights was brought in after the Civil War. Please correct me if I'm wrong, by the way, but by the Earl of Shaftesbury, which was to say, we cannot have any absolute monarchs anymore. We must, Parliament must be sovereign. And I can see why that was true. But then what happened is people fled to America because they were also dealing with absolute monarchs, and they created this constitution, which is rock solid and you can't touch it. And I was thinking to myself, why, when Lord Sumption himself has said COVID, the way the government dealt with COVID is, you know, completely threw our common law out the window and desecrated our common law, why has no one come forward with a British Bill of Rights?
So people have. I've seen one. I've seen a very good one. It's out there. I'll try and find it on the internet.
But Preston Byrne did a free speech bill.
But it doesn't go very far, because the problem is, yeah, you're right in that the response, it was a response to the revolt. And actually, the sovereignty lies in Parliament. But that's the problem, because Parliament was supposed to be representative of the people. And the sovereignty was removed from the crown and given to Parliament. But actually, Parliament is against the people now. And our politicians are not representative. So we need the sovereignty to come down to the people. I don't know how you get to that level.
Well, I reckon how you get to that level is you get a First Amendment. So you say free speech. You have the right.
Parliament's against the people. Why would Parliament ever implement a constitution, a written constitution? Well,
but then, at that juncture, you then have a launchpad for a political party.
Okay.
Because if a political party brings forth a Bill of Rights and offers it to Kemi or to Farage and says, I know, I get your what you're saying, which is that no political party is ever going to put forward a piece of legislation that takes power away from them and gives it back to the people where it belongs. But if Parliament, if someone did that and said, we must guarantee the right to free speech for everyone, we've seen how dystopian all of this stuff is going on with Starmer and also with the Conservatives back in the day when they were relevant in any way. But if someone came forward with that, you couldn't have a Second Amendment because you're never going to put guns back in the hands of British people, but you could have a my house is my castle amendment, which is that you have no right to come to my front door, absolutely none whatsoever, and interrogate me over the way I think. You know, so your First Amendment could be that, and your Second Amendment could be you're not allowed to come into my house. You're not allowed to come to my house for anything that constitutes a breach of the First Amendment, which is free speech. I mean, sure, I want to ask, and I'm going to try and meet up with some people next week. I'm going to try and meet up with, because we did the free speech report back in the day. You know, It was a really thoroughly brilliant piece of work, which you can find on our website if you want to have a look and read through it. It's really an interesting piece of work. And I think that needs to be moved forward. And that could be the basis of, if you're trying to work out, how does one make the culture political? Not that I'm mad.
You've still got a lot of faith in the system, right? So, in the last Tory government, friends of mine put together the free speech bill, right? And the higher education bill. And that was doing great work. It took a long time, lots of bureaucracy. At the end of it, they get it through just about. And then no, it all gets cancelled and the government falls apart and Labour get in. And actually, there's not going to be a free speech ambassador. The Labour Party is against it because they don't want free speech in academia, because actually it's the lefties who are their voters. So it's all undermined. Like, all these years of working towards that thing, done, out the window. At one point, people were putting my name forward as the free speech czar, if you remember back in the day. It had potential, all gone. I've seen so many of these things where you sit around the table with the ministers, and you've got all these people, they come together, they try and work through a plan, and everyone's, oh, we can get it pushed through here and there, the debate here. It's nonsense. The system doesn't work. It's too slow, too cumbersome, and actually, it doesn't make a difference, really, in the long run. We've got to break the system apart. We can't use the system anymore.
How do we break the system apart?
That's what I don't know. That's what I really don't know. We don't have a Guy Fawkes in this day and age. We need someone who's bold and thinks outside of the box and actually says, you know what? Parliament is against the people. The government is against the people. We need a revolt. We need a revolution. We need something bigger than bureaucracy. And I'm not advocating for violence. I'm just saying.
I might be change. Marrying a Guy Fawkes. She's been going on about Guy Fawkes all week. She's going, I just want to know a lot more about him. Make Guy Fawkes great again.
Guy Fawkes was not a bad guy.
He was not a bad guy, was he not? I don't know enough about him. I just believed everything I was taught at school.
But I just think the fact that we've been told by our government that we should celebrate the killing of this guy every year because he nearly brought down the government. It's like, wait a minute. He nearly brought down the government and we're celebrating his death? That's back to front.
Calvin, I love the fact that you've become even more Calvin since your
move. He was an oppressed Catholic is all he was, for goodness sake.
He was an oppressed Catholic. Is Catholicism the answer then?
Catholicism is always the answer, Lawrence.
Is it?
Have you been going to church?
I haven't actually been to church, sorry to say, but I have been in direct contact with some church people. What I have is a coterie. That sounds so dismissive. What I have is I have a set of really important spiritual Christian advisors who ask me to think about things, reflect on them, and pray about them, which I do. Because I am, as you know, pretty wild spirited when it comes to things that I find unjust. And I was sat in this meeting with the guys the other day, and they said they were, because they're good, my team. It's taken me years to get them, and they're small, and they ask important questions. And they said, what do you want? What is it that you want? And I said, I want the individual to be treated. I want the individual to be sovereign over his own life or her own life. And I want to push away evil where I see it or where I deem to see it. Like, you know, you see the problem with the socialist thing and the Marxist thing and the, you know, the blue sky thing, which is hilarious that they're all reporting each other for being intolerant of each other, is that in order to accept, and we've discussed this before, but it is worth raising again, in order to accept everybody, to be genuinely inclusive, fucking hate that word nowadays, in order to be genuinely inclusive, you have to include everyone. And that means paedophiles and nutcases and psychopaths. So,
let's not try to be inclusive.
Yes. So another great thing my dad said was when I was moaning about diversity is our strength and going, I hate diversity as a word as well. And we got to go onto the JAG advert at some point. My dad said, I don't understand why everyone goes, diversity is our strength. Unity is our strength. Diversity is a weakness.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a very simple and succinct and really powerful way of expressing what I think. My brain sort of goes off in all sorts of directions about these things. Oh, it's motion sensitive. I've just worked it out. I waved a hand. You see, it's over my head every time. Well, now I know. Okay, Jaguar advert.
Yeah.
So let me just give you the bit that I missed before I get what you think. Okay. So I was talking to Larry the other day, and Larry said, and I'd been reading this actually in an article, Jaguar's design team, brand management design team, is 800 people.
Wow.
Right. So that advert, and actually at this juncture, I do want to play the head of Jaguar's branding. Because it is a short clip, just to show how utterly messed up these people are. Let's play that. And there you have it, diversity, equity, and inclusion. But Jaguar must have been planning this for a very long time, under the belief, probably, that Kamala had been was expected to win the election, which they didn't manage to rig this time around. So Jaguar what are your thoughts on how long it, just tell me your thoughts about it. I don't need to.
Firstly, it's quite sad. It does already look outdated because things are changing so rapidly. It's like everyone's racially ambiguous, sexually ambiguous. It's like it's just a beige brown kind of gay retarded advert, really. It's the only way to describe it. Like, what is it advertising?
You know, I'm just going to send that to the group so I can say when I have to announce what the episode is, it's just a gay, beige, brown, retarded movement.
I mean, do we see the car in the advertisement? I mean, I'm not even sure we do. I loved Jags. My uncle had a Jag growing up. I always loved Jags. I was like, this is proper English. It's nice. It's like a barber jacket. It's like Wellington boots. It's just part of our culture, isn't it? But not anymore. It's now, they're trying to make it part of the woke culture. The guy in his string vest stood at the podium talking about how proud he is to be a member of Pride was even saying, I think this is not just about our buyers. It's like, well, who's it for then? What is this? It's a social thing. It's a political thing. He's trying to launch a movement. He's using the platform that he's been given by this international multi-billion company and is using it for his political agenda. That's really troubling. But of course, it's out of time because the woke movement's dead. We live in MAGA country now.
This is MAGA country now. Do you think that there will be any people that subscribe to the new Jaguar branding, even woke people?
Woke people can't afford Jaguars, so no, Jaguars are going to die, hopefully as quickly as Bud Light died, unless they pull this ad, make an apology, public apology, and give us some good old-fashioned sound advertising. Someone said, they should just get Jeremy Clarkson to go, Jag, that's all you need, and show footage of the Jag. You don't need all this pink fluff.
My first car I bought after I earned any money at all, I think I earned 15,000 quid for the whole, the movie I did in 2000. I think I spent $2,500 of that on a very old Jaguar XJ6, which was not in very good nick. And I learned it was not in very good nick while I was going under the bridge, I think not at Raines Park, but somewhere near Raines Park. Garrett Lane or somewhere like that. There's a bridge under the railway, and I lost both brakes and steering.
Oof.
At exactly the same time. What,
gliding?
I just glid. Is that a word? I glid. I glid slowly into a wall, fortunately, because I wasn't going very fast. And that cemented my love of Jaguars. And from that moment forward, I think I probably owned about 15. Really? Or 20 of them, graduating all the way up to an XKRS, which were very rare. So I think I saw one other Jaguar XKRS in my life, and it was the most beautiful thing. 5 liter V8, no space in the boot, went like an absolute rocket ship, useless compared to other sports cars, but really, really fast in a straight line. And I absolutely loved it. So I think this idea of taking this leaping Jaguar, this optimistic view of like the predator is out for its prey, to work all those years to make that brand, and then just to turn it into, as you say, some sort of limp-wristed gay non-binary thing. It's just, it seems like cultural suicide. And this morning I was looking on Sky News website, and it said, sort of halfway down, I'd clicked on the Sky News article because I wanted to know what they were talking about. And then halfway down it said, why you can trust Sky News. And I urge people to go to the Why You Can Trust Sky News part of their website. And it does the same thing. It's the same speech as this sort of guy who goes, so everybody can be their authentic selves when they turn up to work, whether they're designing a car or making a coffee. And I'm like, right, so no. Issue,
right? Jaguar has always been form over function. It's always been beautiful design. It's been about the design, not the car. Like, it doesn't matter how powerful it is, or, I mean, it does to some extent, but it's about how it looks as a car. And so they've taken that image and they've destroyed it because they've removed what the image was. But what you're talking about there, the values that they've imported, whether it's Jaguar or Sky News, these woke values, are what are damaging companies. So Boeing have just had a new CEO after the mess that Boeing have just been through. And the new CEO asks a simple question. He says, will this help us build airplanes? Like, the Jaguar design team and the Jaguar CEO should be saying, will this help us build beautiful cars? If no, get it out. It's done. We don't need 800 people to make a gay advertisement. What we need is a good car, a beautiful car. Every company should be saying the same thing. Like, we should be saying, will this help us make a good podcast? If not, then we don't need to be doing it. It's simple.
Yeah. It's not. Why is it? Because I got this sense from the farmers protest. Sorry to drag us back into that, but I've got this sense from the farmers protest, and I get this sense sometimes in my own life because, I remembered when I was filming, when I was acting, I was required to do something very specific for a very concentrated period of time. And if I didn't do it well, they get someone else to do it.
Yeah.
And that's how it worked in acting. You were only as good as your last job, and you better, it's now gone off. Wake up. Sorry, I'm going to, oh, I'll leave it. I can't be asked. That you were required to do something. And I get the sense in the modern world that a lot of the people that live in London and who are upper middle class don't actually have jobs. So I don't even sense that politicians really have jobs. So what they do is they go, hang on a minute. So you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you go and, you know, whatever the weather, and you go and you go lambing. And if you're lambing, you're lambing all night. Or, and if you're, you know, the pigs are, this is why watching Clarkson's Farm is a good idea. You know, they're actually working. And the war on the farmers is a war on industry, genuine industry. And self-respect, which is that someone would go out and actually do something for a living. And I was sat on the train on the way home today, and I was looking at God, I was like, the absolute genius of someone who hundreds of years ago, or, 100 and a bit years ago, laid all this track across Britain. And then, you know, and going through these tunnels, and you're just like, this is just so beautiful and it's amazing. And I'm struggling to think, who other than Elon Musk in this entire world has created something new and hopeful and optimistic? I mean, Jeff Bezos has done it, because one of the reasons why lots of things are broken in here today is because I'm trying to get things, and I phone up local shop and I go, do you have one of these screws, like a 2.5 something screw? And they go, no, we don't do that anymore. We just sell washing machines. Oh. And I'm like, so you can congratulate Jeff Bezos for making sure that every shop in the world is now pointless and defunct. But where is that sense of reaching for the stars? Where's that gone? And the farmers thing feels very much revenge on people that work hard. Do you think that's where we are in society? That actually the reason why they want to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion is because there's nothing else to talk about in their world.
Yeah.
They have nothing to live for.
We just saw today that the Notre Dame has been fully restored, right? And this is a prime example of a time when we believed in things greater than ourselves. We built monuments to God for the greater glory of God. And it took centuries to build these things. They're magnificent. They're literally awesome. And we don't build things like that anymore. But what this shows is we still can. So thankfully, Macron didn't get his way. He wasn't able to modernize the Notre Dame. And actually, it was built using traditional methods that were in line with how it was built the first time around. So it's been rebuilt, it's been reconstructed in the way that it was originally built. That's amazing. That means that we still have the skills, the talents, the knowledge to do these things. We just need the people, we need the patrons to say, we're going to build a new cathedral, we're going to build a new monument, like we're going to do this stuff. And you're right, that as far as I can see, the only person who's really doing creative stuff like that, innovative stuff like that, is Elon Musk with his wanting to take people to Mars. Which is great. I mean, that's good. It encourages people. But if a man like him found God, and imagine what he could do. Imagine what he could accomplish for advancing the kingdom. It would be amazing.
Well, I think it's really interesting because I mentioned Harry, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this again. But Harry said he was a Catholic for many years, and then he saw too many pointless deaths. Essentially, when he worked on the roads and stuff like that. And he said he made a point of looking at every victim, even the dead ones, in the eyes, to make it a moment that he acknowledged their death and would send them on their way. But he said he saw so much death that he lost God. And I said to him, it doesn't sound like you've lost God. It sounds like he's just gone deeper into you and made it less of a conversation about it. And I wonder whether with Elon Musk that he is coming to the conclusion that there is the only answer to the insanity of socialism, which was, let's face it, it was a religion. It was formulated as a religion. It wasn't formulated as a political ideology. It was formulated as a way of getting everyone back to the Garden of Eden in a fair, equitable, diverse, and inclusive way. And it's bullshit and it's fucking dreadful. So I wonder whether once you start on that journey, whether there is any other destination but the divine. Do you reckon?
No, hopefully. But a lot of the time we put up our own hurdles and we get in our own way, we trip over our own feet. You know, with a lot of these people, their own intellect becomes a major barrier to the faith, unfortunately. So I don't know. All we can do is pray for them. And I hope that Elon Musk in particular finds God. I've just been playing, I did my crusade just before this, and I was just playing clips of President-elect Donald Trump giving all the glory to God. And I think it's so important when you've got an important role like that to hand it all over, that it's not about you. And I think for Elon Musk, he needs to find that.
And it's certainly true that Trump is being pretty open about that. And it's not him being opportunistic at all. He is saying it. And I love to hear the rhetoric coming out, certainly of Matt Gaetz. I mean, let's see if that nomination works. But to say the hammer of justice is going to fall on the deep state. And it's like, I like these words. I like this because, you know, in this conversation with my dad, when he's like, you know, Christians, and I think my dad is the wisest man I know, and I'm so blessed to have him in my life. And I don't know anyone smarter or wiser than him, but I sense even there's a like, well, what does one do? And I suppose that kind of the mighty righteous way forward, where whatever it is that they propose, you meet with hope, justice, truth, and all of those things, you know. But I suppose also to be a Christian is to focus maybe a bit more on the New Testament than the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is full of fire and brimstone when it comes to how you deal with your enemies. And maybe we need, who's going to be the Archbishop of Canterbury? Sorry to just swerve you off. Do you know, are you even interested in who's going to be?
It's going to be a lady vicar, unfortunately, which is going to break up the Anglican Communion, and there are going to be lots of people in Africa who are very unhappy for the right reasons. It's probably the end of Anglicanism, potentially. Who knows? But we'll see what happens over the next few months. He's not going to leave until the 6th of January, so it's going to take another couple of months before he actually resigns, which is a very strange thing to do.
Do you feel sorry for him?
No, why? Why would I feel sorry for him?
Well, do you think that he felt he was trying to do the right thing, trying to?
He was just very bad at it. He's been a very bad archbishop. He's been a very bad faith leader. He's been a very bad politician, which is what he's tried to do most of the time. I don't think he's particularly good at any of the things that he's been called to do, and so he should make room for someone else that is. He's caused so much damage, irreparable damage to the church in England.
That's actually such a good point. He's a very bad politician. And he's tried to be a politician instead of an archbishop. But archbishops have done that before, haven't they? Yeah. I suppose. And, you know, I think Rowan Williams said some pretty interesting things, and I found him a deeply thoughtful guy, whether I agree with him or not.
People gave him a lot of room because he was an intellectual. He was a theologian and an academic. So people gave him a lot more leeway, but he wasn't particularly a good archbishop either. He caused a lot of irreparable damage as well. In fact, he handed over the church in a poor state to Justin Welby.
So you don't seem to have grabbed the bull by the horns and said, you know, Father Calvin for Archbishop of Canterbury. I mean, I know you're a Catholic now, so you can't. Ha! I love it when you start on that one. You took a long time to start taking the piss out of me this week. This is really good.
I'm not taking the piss out of you. No,
this is...
It has to be a bishop in the Church of England. Unfortunately, I wish it was wider afield. I wish they'd select an African bishop, an African Anglican bishop.
Yeah. Their sound. Yeah. Whenever you hear an African bishop talk, you're just like, I get it. Yeah. I'm like, bring on the African bishops. Yeah. In the same way, though, as I'm slightly like Elon, who's been summoned to Parliament, by the way, to answer questions over the Southport riots, I think that would probably be viewed up there with an England football game to watch him run rings round.
Do you think they are?
I mean, they think, well, one of the things they think they are is a lot smarter than who they are. They're not the brightest or sharpest knives in drawer.
I like the thing that President Trump put out and said, look, we can't have interference of government and non-government organizations in free speech issues. We can't have the FBI working for Facebook or telling Twitter to remove people or shadow ban people and all this stuff. Like, free speech means free speech. I thought that was a very good speech that he put out, and we need someone like that in our country.
We do, but England is very different in its way of dealing with these things, which is that we're much more navel-gazy than the Americans are. The Americans, whenever I go to America, the first thing that strikes me is how hopeful and optimistic people are on the scale. So you come to England, it's like, I was in London on the weekend and I was again just shocked. And maybe it's because I've spent more time here. And I'm meeting real people more often. But London is a fucking dump. Sorry to swear. It's an absolute dump. And people live there. And I left it this morning because I was down doing meetings yesterday and seeing dear Eugene. Mm. And I left it this morning and I just thought, this place is finished. It's gone. It's done. There's nothing. And then I tweeted, you know, because obviously Keir Starmer's sitting there going, we're going to, make the world really good for energy. And it's like,
he's going to launch World War III is what he's going to do. What is that about?
I know.
So Keir Starmer and President Joe Biden are trying to instigate World War III before President Trump gets a chance to get in office. That's crazy.
Do you think it's Biden who's doing it, or do you think it's the machinery?
Him or his handlers, I don't care, but it's happening. They're really pushing hard for World War. Even the mainstream media in the UK are trying to ask Keir Starmer questions for the first time ever. They're like, but people are worried about nuclear war. Yes, well, we need to do this because the Ukraine needs all the money we can give. But what about nuclear? Yeah, well, we need. Like, what are you doing?
Whilst cutting defence spending. So we're firing
by £500 million.
We're firing.
Let's make our country defenseless, and let's send all our money to a foreign war, and let's poke the bear so that Russia wants to get into a nuclear war with us. Let's do all these things at the same time. It's almost as if they're trying to destroy our country.
A big part of me believes that the left, being such bad losers that they are, would rather their country, you know, what's that quote about ruling over the ashes? You know, I don't care as long as I get to rule over it. It's fascinating. One of my naughtier Twitter followers, because I've now started to slightly engage with my replies. I don't really engage with them particularly, but, you know, because so many of them, but something's happened in that Twitter algorithm whereby the people that you either engage with or follow appear more at the top of your replies. So you can actually go, oh, that's a good point. But one of my naughtier followers tweeted that if he did launch a nuclear assault on London, apparently we're right on the edge of the death zone where I am here. If he did, at least not many British people would be annihilated.
That's true. That did make me laugh.
So what else do we have to cover? What else needs to be talked about? I wrote it down, I'm sure.
Okay.
What did I say? Oh, happy Transgender Day of Remembrance for yesterday. And for our audience, it was Wednesday. And, you know,
that's not a day.
What?
That's not a day.
What do you mean it's not a day?
I don't know what that means. Today is the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, if you want to know what day it is. I don't know what something or other.
You and your weird sky wizard can have that. And I've got Transgender Day of Remembrance down for me. And do you know why I know that Transgender Day of Remembrance is one of the most important days in
the day you burn the flag?
No, I usually burn the flag on the first day of Pride Month, which I will do again. But the reason why Transgender Day of Remembrance is one of the most important days in the year is because of the new American Congress penist lady. Who, you know, is being heavily discriminated against by Nancy Mace. He's saying that he can't have a way in the girls lose. I mean, you know, that's why we need to remember transgender people, Calvin. Don't you agree?
I already forgot them. Sorry.
But what do you think about Nancy Mace discriminating against this poor little lady bloke? So active discrimination. Active. I think it's really good too. It's the Americans
are brilliant. Allowed in women's spaces. Simple as.
Why do they want to go in there?
Because they're perverts.
Would you say that every single one of them is a pervert?
If they want to go into women's spaces, then yes. What other reason would they have other than, I suppose, mental illness?
Have you read Douglas's book, Douglas Murray's book, War on the West?
Yeah.
Have you read the book, the bit in it on trans, where he talks about the very first trans operation, where he's trying to be really, really fair? And there is this dude who absolutely is convinced that he's just going to live a better and happier life as a woman. And I think if you're talking about 0.0000001% of the population, and that those people are treated with, you know, a calm and loving dignity, because, you know, obviously it can't be good to be inside their head. But what I can't bear is the fact that it's now pushed front and center, that we've got an epidemic of transing.
0.00 whatever, that we treat with dignity or whatever. We treat them with dignity in the mental health institution, absolutely, in the asylum, yes. We don't let them walk around as women. We don't let men walk around and act as if they are women and partake in women's sports and go in women's spaces. Even if it's a tiny minority, we don't allow it at all. Not at all.
At all, it's a total no-no for you. In every circumstance
men
whatsoever.
Men are men and women are women.
I agree with that, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if the vanishingly small number of people who are actually think genuinely that they would live better and happier like dressing up as a girl and doing dreadful things to their bodies in order to live on,
survive. They shouldn't go through with it. No. No doctor should agree to mutilate someone's body because of a mental health issue. That's an absurd way to treat them. If they have a mental health issue, they should be treated with mental health care.
Yes, this is true. And the doctors that allow this stuff to happen should be jailed and imprisoned.
And you'll be allowed to sue them in the US now. So I think it will stop happening very quickly.
What's he going to do? Is he going to pardon the J6 lot? What's he going to do?
Oh, I hope so on that. But yeah, in terms of the gender rubbish, he's going to say, look, if you are mutilating or castrating people, particularly children, then people can sue you. So that people are no longer going to make money from it. And this is why it's happening. Surgeons were making money from these things. That's why it was pushed so often. Now they're going to lose money. They'll stop doing it.
I've also got another follow for the Fox and Father follows.
Can you finish it, then?
No, because it ties into this, which is Connor Tomlinson.
Oh, yeah, good old Connor.
What's tweeted, he tweeted about his friend who's the legal, the state are colluding to remove his child from him and trans that child. And I just think, if anything, even if it's just a prayer for this poor, poor man, what's his name? Where is he? Sorry, I'm being useless here. What's his name? Where is Connor's tweet gone? So you have to edit this out, Theon. I find that so sad that they're doing it, and it was great for him to raise it as an issue. I was profoundly moved by that whole thing.
The state thinks it has the right to take children away from their parents and, well, mutilate them. That's evil.
Well, I've had that. I've had my decade-long dealings with the state. Anyway, hopefully and optimistically, what's coming up for you in the coming week?
What is coming up for me in the coming week? I've got a relatively quiet week here in Grand Rapids, planning lots of stuff, getting ready for Advent, which launches at the end of next week. I've got Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to an American Thanksgiving as well.
I'm so jealous. Obviously I'm fascinated by America and I love America, but tell me what they're giving thanks for.
People have different reasons. I will be giving thanks for my friends, family, loved ones, the fact that the West has been saved from unending despair and death. But also, the first Thanksgiving was when the Christians landed on these shores, and the first thing they did is they said mass. And that's often forgotten. People talk about turkeys and pilgrims and stuff, but actually the first Thanksgiving on these American shores was Catholics landing in this country and saying mass together. That is the only Thanksgiving that matters, the mass.
And are you allowed to tell us what you're going to do, where you're celebrating it?
I'm just going to a parishioners and joining a parishioners for Thanksgiving. It would be lovely.
What day is it? 25th?
It's on a Thursday next week today, so 28th.
28th. Okay. Well, I think we should bring Thanksgiving to Britain, or the hope that possibly Donald Trump, once he's busy sorting out America, might come and ask Britain if we want to secede from ourselves and join America and become the 51st state. But would we be a blue? Would Britain Donald be Trump a blue
prime minister?
Would we be a blue state or a red state? That's the question.
We'd be a blue state. We would be a blue state.
Oh God!
And Birmingham, and Manchester. But it's our cities, man. We need to do something about the cities. Cities were a mistake, but it's too late to unwind that. So, what can we do to gain them back?
Well,
we should just let Russia go at it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Vlad could. I don't know. I feel hopeless about all of that sort of stuff, and I don't feel there is a political party. I mean, Elon tweeted this morning that, not this morning for him, but this morning for me, he said when he saw Keir Starmer's approval rating at -40, you know, which is buyer's regret of the greatest thing, that, you know, that he said every single mainstream party in the United Kingdom will be wiped out the next general election. And I think that that's not a bad guess.
I don't know about that, but -40 in 4 months is incredible.
Yeah, I don't want to hate him as a person, but I'm really glad that people dislike what he's doing as much as we do. So my week, for what it's worth, is going to involve, I'm starting the annual Lawrence Fox purge, fitness purge.
Oh, okay.
So it starts on Monday, and it entails me getting fit.
Is this strong. When you got a rope attached to you with a tire and you're running and all that stuff?
You might laugh, but I have been inquiring as to where I might find an old tractor tire. So if there's anyone in the local area who knows where I live, who's got an old tractor tire, I might be seen running up and down roads with it. Yeah. So that starts on Monday. Okay. And I'm going to document it because I found a really lovely guy, and he's funny as well. He's so, so funny. Mm. And we've got a very warped and funny, twisted, dark sense of humor. So that always works for me. Mm. And I'm going to begin that. Yeah. So I'm going to go. It's, I thought I always do it when it's cold for some reason. I don't know why I do that. You should really start fitness in the summer where you can kind of do all of that. But I'm going to get myself fit and healthy and strong again. Cause I feel now that I've managed to settle down here and my emotional well-being with small blips here and there is coming back. I'm going to get my physical well-being back, if anything, just so I can learn how to throw a decent right hook for any Mohammedan or copper who wants to barge through my door because I happen to disapprove of whatever the current thing is. So yeah, I'm going to do that. And then by the time you and I go to Skiathos next year, you will be going, boy, you look fine, mighty fine.
We're going to see a hench Lawrence Fox. I'm looking.
It does go a bit hench, you know.
Yeah.
So I've got a bit. Everything. I'm just getting a bit old. I'm just like, oh,
that's the, to all of us, man.
That's the rotator cuff for the second time this year. I'm
heading
assured
to the gym when we finish this podcast. I have been going every day. I'm fighting against this American diet. I have found a new appreciation for thin Americans. It's difficult to be thin out here. It's incredible. Make America healthy again is going to be so important, honestly.
Maha, have you found a, I know I'm being cheeky, but have you found a, are you allowed to find something? You're Catholic. Are you allowed to find a girl?
Yeah, you are being cheeky. All right.
All right, but are you allowed to?
My mum says, tell Lawrence to stop being cheeky. He crosses the line sometimes.
I'm so sorry. I get it from Dennis.
Yeah.
Well, it's a joy, as always, to see your face, my friend.
You too,
and love you. And I'll see you next week. And we know what this one's going to be called. Thanks. Oh, wait. And actually, true, just before, I always get this wrong. So can I just tell you something?
Yeah, please do.
So I bought I put like a couple of grand into Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bitcoin's gone crazy.
A while ago, I'm now up at 6,800. Well, it's just gone down. £807.15.
That's amazing. And then Dogecoin's even better.
Do you know what also has had record?
No.
Consistent price rise. Yes. Well, it's several metals, but the most famous metal of all is dear old gold, which is I'm now going to use some of my like up and down Bitcoin stuff to actually invest in some gold. That's what I'm going to do. So that I've got some sovereigns. So we will send our love to you, and we will play you out with our lovely partner in gold. Have a lovely, lovely week. God bless. God bless you, Calvin Robinson. Bye.